The 100 Years' War. The Duguesclin period, the regency of Richard II. Now, Edward III's body lay in state in St. Paul's Cathedral in Westminster Hall as the news came in of successive French landings on the south coast. On July the 5th, 1377, the old king's body was escorted across the palace yard to be interred in Westminster Abbey in the presence of most of the lay magnates and prelates of the kingdom and the whole of the royal household. 11 days later, his 10-year-old grandson was anointed and crowned king at the same place in a ceremony at once traditional and embellished with symbolic statements of God-given authority, which the child was incapable of exercising. Immediately after the coronation, the new king created 4 earls, among them his uncle, Thomas of Woodstock, who became the Earl of Buckingham and Marshal of England, and Henry Percy became the Earl of Northumberland. The ceremonies were overshadowed by the threat of the French fleet, which was now believed to be heading for the Thames. 40 miles away at Sheerness, at Sewbury Ness, watchmen with drums and trumpets stood by the huge beacons which had been built to warn of an enemy attempt to force the estuary. In the riverside villages at Greenwich, Woolwich, Thurrock, and Gravesend, men were preparing to resist a landing near the capital. Edward III had made no provisions for a regency. To devise one after his death would have provoked a serious political crisis. John of Gaunt would have been an unpopular choice and does not seem to have pressed for it. No one else had the necessary status and authority. Instead, the prelates and lay peers who had attended the coronation gathered the following day and conferred the day-to-day conduct of the government to the 2 principal officers of the state, the chancellor and the treasurer, assisted by a continual council. These arrangements, which amounted to a regency in all but name, remained in place until the beginning of 1380. The council was a coalition on which both sides of the political divisions of the past 18 months were represented, but the most influential and cohesive group in the government were the former friends and retainers of the Black Prince. The Queen Mother, Joan of Kent, had taken charge of her son's affairs after her husband's death and had done much to keep the prince's household together. She remained a discreet but powerful presence behind the scenes. Former clerks and officials of the Black Prince and his widow moved into positions of influence across the whole of the government service. Simon Burley, the new king's tutor, who carried the boy back to the palace in his arms after the coronation ceremony, had been the Black Prince's childhood friend and one of his few confidants during the years in Aquitaine. He remained the most powerful man at court for a decade. The opinions of these men, most of whom never previously tasted power, are impossible to discover, but many of them had personal experience of the bitterness of defeat in France, and it is hardly conceivable that it had not left a mark on them. Burley had been a prisoner of the French for 3 years, and then lost everything in the debacle of 1372. Sir John Devereux, another counselor, had served as one of the prince's last lieutenants in the Limousine and fought at La Rochelle. Bishop Harwell of Bath and Wells, who had been the prince's chancellor in Aquitaine at the time of the rebellion of Albert and the Armagnacs in 1368, joined the council in October of 1377. But the most notable absentee was John of Gaunt, whose rule thus came to an abrupt end after barely 8 months. There is nothing to suggest that the duke tried to cling to power. He was weary of the grind of active government and distressed at the unpopularity which his vindictive and high-handed ways had brought him. He obtained leave to withdraw to his estates and gave himself up to hunting and hawking and hound. Gaunt would never lack for influence, but his position as the Prince of the Blood had certainly guaranteed that, but he would never again dominate the government as he had done since the October period of 1376. The new council moved swiftly to undo his work. They ordered the seizure of Alice Pear's estates within days of the old king's death. They made peace with the Londoners. William of Wickham was pardoned and restored to his confiscated temporalities. Peter de la Mare was released from Nottingham Castle and given a hero's welcome in the streets of London. The council later characterized his imprisonment as irrational and paid him compensation. The council had no alternative but to prosecute the war as vigorously as it could afford, a course which in an event corresponded to the instinct of most of its members. They reinforced the county levies and commissioners of array with experienced captains and paid troops in places thought to be the most vulnerable to attack. More troops were sent to Pembrokeshire, where the government was still troubled about the possibility of a landing by Owen of Wales. The Earl of Cambridge was put in command of 1,000 men and sent to Dover Castle and the Kent coast. The Earl of Salisbury was put in charge of the coast of Hampshire and Dorset. John Arundel, the brother of the Earl of Arundel, was made keeper of Southampton, which was regarded as a prime target. He entered the town at the beginning of July, accompanied by a large body of soldiers, including a company of Genoese crossbowmen and an artillery train. So we've got a new king, a boy king. We've got this composite council trying to make sense of everything. And what they don't know is where the heck the French fleet is. So that's where we'll pick up next time. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.